Welcome, my friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today, as we take a look at the political situation in America. And Bill, it seems that the American Christian conservatives tend to be the Pollyannish ones who believe that once you appoint a Supreme Court justice who has committed himself not to reverse Roe v. Wade, that somehow he might actually repent of that and reverse Roe v. Wade or throw some little bone to the pro-life community. And indeed, that doesn't happen generation after generation, administration after administration. Remember David Souter, remember Anthony Kennedy, remember Sandra Day O'Connor, all appointed by Republican presidents. And how did they turn out for the pro-life cause?
Yeah, not very well. In fact, once they get in, they do what they want. And so unless you pin them down during confirmation hearings, you can expect that they're not going to do anything other than what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And that is, we could expect that Kavanaugh would waffle. Mm-hmm. And that is unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it's another indication pro-life leaders are often committed to losing maybe a little slower than they would ordinarily if they hadn't shown up. But it turns out that there is an overly optimistic view, a hoping against hope, that something wonderful is going to happen with men who have no real commitment to principle appointed to the position of Supreme Court Justice. And again, friends, it's Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh who have joined their ranks. They've effectively joined the dark side on the Planned Parenthood funding thing. And do remember also that Congress has failed to defund Planned Parenthood after taking several opportunities to it. You remember that Texas Senator Ted Cruz attempted to defund Planned Parenthood just last year and was unable to do it. And the President of the United States signed another $500 million to fund Planned Parenthood this fiscal year. So we had one last opportunity to defund Planned Parenthood, and we blew it. The Supreme Court shot it down, thanks to Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Republican Senator Susan Collins was overjoyed. You remember she cast one of the decisive votes in favor of Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. She told reporters on Monday she feels vindicated that Kavanaugh voted in the case related to Planned Parenthood and sustained Planned Parenthood funding on the state level. Collins, of course, supports abortion. She's one of the Republican senators that is supportive of abortion. Well, my friends, the most meaningful Supreme Court decisions that would have moved the nation pro-life on abortion have gone in the wrong direction since 1973. And don't minimize the importance of breaking down Planned Parenthood funding, because remember, it is organizations like Planned Parenthood that have the strongest influence upon the nation in encouraging abortion. They are the largest abortion provider in America, and they are supported by Title X. The George H.W. Bush launched Title X program and other funding that provides them something of $500 million per year. So without that, Planned Parenthood would be hurting for certain. And they are obviously able to continue their funding of abortion and abortion cause with the help of $500 million of government funding, federal government funding. And Bill, if you think about it, if you added all the pro-life organizations in the country together and all of the Christian legal organizations' income together, you would find that they would not come even close to the amount of money that Planned Parenthood receives via taxpayer funding. In other words, as long as taxpayers fund these causes, there is no hope for the pro-life cause. And so we cut ourselves off at the feet when we do not press hard on the defunding of Planned Parenthood and other Title X programs. So the most meaningful Supreme Court decisions have moved the nation towards abortion over the last 40 to 50 years from Roe v. Wade onwards. Even Planned Parenthood v. Casey codified Roe v. Wade in 1992. It allowed states to enact any abortion restrictions, but only as long as those restrictions are not, quote, a substantial obstacle or an undue burden for women seeking an abortion. So that tied the hands of the states on that.
Yeah, exactly, because they're going to say any burden is an undue burden.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And then we had the Texas abortion clinic law that came down in, what, 2015, 2016, and that went down in flames as well. Even in the dissent on the Texas abortion clinic law, Justice Roberts wanted to kick the can back to the lower courts to be heard all over again. He wasn't opposed to the lower court decision, except that he felt that there had to be a little bit more substance to the witnesses in the trial. So even Justice Roberts didn't take the principled position on the killing of babies in the Texas abortion clinic law. And I was hoping that states' rights would have a chance with Justice Roberts or Justice Kavanaugh, but I guess not. I guess we're not going to allow for any states' rights. America will be pro-abortion. Every state will fund Planned Parenthood. And apparently Right to Life is okay with that.
It's interesting because Justice Clarence Thomas accused the majority of the court of, quote, abdicating its duty for political reasons. So what explains the court's refusal to do its job here? Thomas wrote, I suspect it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood.
And I suspect so. They have tremendous political clout in this country. They've been receiving taxpayer money for, what, 45 years now since the Title X funding began under the support of Congressman George H.W. Bush some, what, 45, 50 years ago. Well, friends, the Congressman Chris Smith also is a prime sponsor of the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, which has passed the House of Representatives four times since 2011. Turns out that Obamacare provides for the subsidization of abortion and just continues on. So it's not as if abortion isn't being subsidized by federal funding today. The Obamacare's abortion surcharge is practically invisible to consumers, Congressman Smith says. Consumers, though, have a right to know. Abortion is not health care. It dismembers and chemically poisons defenseless unborn children and hurts women. So not only is Planned Parenthood funded and all the abortifacients that they dispense, but also remember Obamacare added abortion funding to at least half of the plans sold on the ACA marketplace. And friends, that's occurred since roughly 2009. So for the last 9 years, abortion has been supported by Obamacare despite the Hyde Amendment. And it turns out Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh have taken the side of Planned Parenthood. The overall lack of integrity in a man's character and the nation's character will reveal itself eventually in the policies of the nation. A man may talk a good talk and put on a good show, but when the key moment of testing arrives, he will fail. And what we're seeing is a lack of integrity in a man's character, a lack of commitment to principle in our leaders, which may include those who make the appointments to the Supreme Court, as well as those who play a part on the Supreme Court of the United States. Listen to what the Word of God says concerning this. Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. And that's is something every judge of the earth should take a listen to, because the judges of the earth should kiss the sun lest he be angry and they perish from the way lest his anger be kindled but a little. They should take that word because Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He certainly is on the right hand of the Father, and he's ruling until his enemies are under his footstool, including those who may play a part opposing him and his law at the highest realms of this world's governance. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims at the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
Thank you.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Bill Jack also in studio. And Bill, as we consider the problem with America, remember, we get the government we deserve. And when we discover that our government might put a good show up for the matter of principle, but at the end of the day, they don't deliver, we discover there is not an integrity to the character of the nation or to the character of those men and women who lead us. Isaiah describes this kind of nation in chapter 1 of his book. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. If that doesn't describe the character of this nation after, 45 to 50 years of killing babies and 45 to 50 years of increasingly degrading sexuality, I don't know what would describe us.
I mean, you look at some of the major cities and they are burned. Mm-hmm. They really are burned. And you look at the character of our people and it is desolate.
Mm. Well, let's face the truth about ourselves as a nation. This is the message, I believe, to Right to Life that has come out and said Kavanaugh's nearly a good guy and he just hasn't found the right case yet to take the side of the pro-lifers. Let's face the truth about ourselves, my friends, and we need to repent. All of us need to repent of the sin that seems to be overcoming us. And the sin of Planned Parenthood is what? The sin of Planned Parenthood is dispensing abortifacients, that is the contraceptives that kill babies, and the surgical abortions that kill babies to the tune of, hundreds of thousands in any given year. And we need to repent of the use of abortifacients and the sheer selfishness involved in the using abortifacient forms of birth control that assure the killing of a child and the woman. I'm not sure that Christians are willing to come forward and say, you know what, we need to go after this root and branch. We need to just say it's just wrong. Even the chemicals, even the abortifacients, just wrong. There needs to be a consistency about our message, and we're just flaming hypocrites if we don't make the message more consistent to the principle itself. And that is, my friends, we got to get rid of the self-God that is just this horrible, horrible God that would murder others just to make life more convenient for ourselves. That's just pretty bad. Wouldn't you say, Bill, that's bad? If I said, Bill, you're kind of in my way, I'm just going to take a gun out and shoot you in the head, you'd say, well, that's rather selfish, Kevin.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that? I mean, they'd say, well, that's really, really selfish. And that's the sin. Let's face it. That's the underlying sin that ultimately delivers on all this mass murder and these abortions that go on around the country. It's the same spirit that arises when we get angry with our kids. It's the same spirit that arises when parents are permissive and disinterested in their kids. It's the same spirit that violates women by pornography and focuses on self-gratification. It's the same spirit that doesn't want to forgive others and develops a bitter, unforgiving victimhood spirit against others over years and years and years and years and years. When self turns into a god, let me just say this, terrible things happen. with me here, Bill, why do people kill their kids? They do it because they're selfish.
Yeah.
And I think we need to come back to this again and again and then realize that, you know what, it's the problem that exists in all of us and none of us should be denying it. We should never deny the sinfulness of abortion. Neither should we deny the sinfulness of getting angry with our kids and saying things we shouldn't say to our kids. Right. You with me here? It's a both and.
Yeah.
But thanks be to God, we can cry out to Jesus who saves us from our sins. And he's a mighty savior. He saves us from the bondage of the big self God. And I don't think there's better news than that.
Yeah. And there's no Supreme Court decision that's going to save us from the God of self.
Ooh.
It may restrain evil. The law's purpose is to restrain evil, but it doesn't change hearts. And that's why we need the person of Jesus Christ, the supreme judge of the universe, to come and live within us and to change us from the inside out. You know, it's...
Yeah.
There's a famous book, How to Be Your Own Selfish Pig.
I remember that book, yeah. Back from the 1970s and 80s, yeah. I think it was. Yeah, and I think we don't really need to buy that book because I think we all know how that works.
It's a great book to teach your children not to be that.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, Francis Schaeffer's daughter-in-law, I think, wrote that book.
Right. Before we're done with this edition of the program, friends, an update on President Trump and his lawyer. His lawyer, Mr. Cohen's going to jail for 3 years. He's broken the law for paying off prostitutes during the Donald Trump election bid.
Well, he's going to jail because of tax evasion on over $1 million. That's the reason.
Yeah. Here's Fox News report on it. Both of Cohen's cases hold potential implications for Trump, his admission in the former to breaking the law in making hush money payments during the 2016 campaign to two women who claimed affairs with Trump has raised questions about whether prosecutors may eventually pursue charges against the president. Cohen said he did so at Trump's direction. Sentencing memos filed this week showed Cohen also told investigators about more Russia contacts that could fuel the collusion aspect of Mueller's probe, and so on it goes. Now, obviously, the battle is always over legal wranglings, not over the fundamental sin. So we've talked about this before on the programs. And if we prosecute Trump, we would have to prosecute, 69% of Congress,
Well, I mean, there's 268 cases in Congress that they've paid off from the slush fund that is taxpayer money. There's a $17 million slush fund of taxpayer money set aside by Congress to pay those who claim sexual harassment or sexual improprieties by congressmen and senators. And there have been 268 settlements, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And that means that some of those occurred during an election cycle, which means that if they're going to prosecute Trump for paying out of his own pocket for somebody to keep quiet about something that was embarrassing to him, and they're going to say that that was a campaign finance violation, they're going to have to do the same thing for them. They're going to have to do that for former President Obama, who offered, remember, Pastor Jeremiah Wright money to just keep his mouth shut during the campaign.
Well, it comes back to Isaiah 1. Again, my friend, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. And that's where we are today as a nation. And Bill, I don't think we can expect that the nation is going to set a good trajectory in its policies if the integrity of the nation is so compromised.
No.
It's hard to believe that we're going to be able to do that. And I think the president of the United States really could be a moral leader. And he could be a moral leader by initiating a national repentance.
And he needs to be.
Beginning with himself. And I think it would be a wonderful thing if he did. And I'm not saying that he couldn't. I think he could.
Sure.
Here's a couple of quotes from the president's books written as recent as 2008. This comes from Think Big, Make It Happen in Business and Life. This is a quote from the president of the United States in his book that he penned in 2008. Often when I was sleeping with one of the top women in the world, I would say to myself, can you believe what I am getting? And also in The Art of the Deal, he wrote, if I told the real stories of my experiences with women, often seemingly very happily married and important women, this book would be a guaranteed bestseller. That's what he wrote in The Art of the Deal. Well, friends, this is what we're talking about. This is the undermining of the integrity of the nation. And what can we say about Christians who are down on homosexuality, but they love President Trump's books and his bragging about adultery? Or maybe they just smooth it over a little bit, like it's no big deal. Friends, that's just hypocrisy in the most egregious form possible. That's what that is. Because adultery is treated as a capital crime to be prosecuted in the criminal courts by Scripture. And to pick out homosexuality as somehow a more egregious sin than this kind of adultery is ridiculous, Bill.
Right. Sexual sin is sexual sin. Heterosexual or homosexual,
right.
Sexual sin is prohibited. It is condemned, and we need to be consistent in our call for righteousness.
And don't forget that John the Baptist got in a little trouble for calling King Herod to task on the matter of adultery. Remember, he took his brother's wife. So this isn't the first time that a leader has claimed to take his brother's wife or somebody else, but he went to prison for it. John the Baptist went to prison, lost his head over it. I'm just wondering if maybe any of the evangelical pastors in his inner circle are encouraging President Trump to publicly repent and remove his books from publication. I just wonder that. Or are they just, lapdogs grappling for photo ops in the White House so they can put the picture on their office wall and look important? Bill, come on. little John the Baptist action would be helpful. Would you agree?
Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't. Some guy with grasshopper legs in his beard showing up at one of these fancy dinners at the White House and maybe encouraging a little repentance. And friends, it's not too late. And this is the point. Manasseh repented. I love to bring up the example of Manasseh because Manasseh was one of the very worst kings of Judah. He did some of the very worst things you could ever imagine. He was taken off into captivity. Remember, his eyes were put out. And then he just barely looked up and said, God, I've made a mistake. I'm just wrong. I blew it. You know, he just repented right there and then. And God was so merciful and brought him all the way back, put him back into the position of the throne. And he continued to rule until the end of his life. So again, God is incredibly merciful in situations like this. The president needs to say is, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I've broken God's laws. I've encouraged millions of people who buy my books and by my public persona to break God's laws, and I've contributed to the downfall of this country since the 1970s, 1980s. I mean, that's all he needs to say, right? He just needs to stand up and imagine if he said that, there would be like a leading of a national repentance in America, and it would be beautiful.
I don't know that those words have come out of his mouth. I was wrong.
Those three words?
Yeah.
Those are tough words.
They're tough words.
Have you ever said that?
Yep. I've had to say it. And you know who the hardest people to say it to?
It's your wife.
And your children.
Yeah. We need to be able to say that. I was wrong. But friends, the overall lack of integrity in a man's character and the nation's character will reveal itself eventually in the policies. You may talk a good talk and put on a good show, but when the key moment of testing arrives, you will fail unless there is a turnaround in the integrity of a man's heart. And that can happen by repentance. And that's where I want to end this program today. And I think we need to encourage our conservative Christian friends everywhere to push for a national repentance root and branch. We can't be like King Saul, who allows for the survival of King Agag, doesn't go after the problem root and branch. We can't allow for a continuation of the principle of the taking of a human life while we are just compromising, conceding. And this is the thing that we need to call our pro-life friends and conservative friends to, and that is a full-orbed repentance and a commitment to God's law and God's principle on every single policy, every decision, as best as we can, especially if we're committed to the principle that it is wrong to take a human life in the womb of a mother. And that's where we're going to end this edition of the Generations broadcast, and I encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality and the Family. That little book summarizes a biblical position on things like abortion and homosexuality. And I think as Christians, we need to be rooted on these issues. We need a strong foundation, a strong biblical foundation, a historical foundation on the issue of abortion and homosexuality and other forms of national sins that have become preferred national sins in our day. So be sure that you are well-grounded on these issues, and you can get a copy of this little book. It's a little hardback. I don't think it costs more than $10 or $12 online. But you'll find it at generations.org, and it's called Keep the Faith on Sexuality. And friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.